Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, April the 19th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day. And as I always like to say on Thursday, if it's not so great, think of it this way. Tomorrow is Friday. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, with simulcast out of KAPR AM 930. Our friends in Douglas and Cochise County listening to the show. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we are very proud of the fact that you don't necessarily have to hear this show live. You can hear it on any three venues, 24/7, anywhere, anytime, on my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, that's Tucson's online news service, and our friends at tucsoncitizen.com. So it's there for you. Our fine producer, Rosemary Brandt, usually has the day's show posted by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We get things rolling on our live edition here, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, with newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Lots to talk about with Supervisor Elias. We're going to spend 30 minutes with him. 30 minutes past the hour, we will preview this weekend's Earth Day activities in Tucson, including there's a parade and festival, and a well-known Tucson church is going green this weekend. Then we'll close out the show with our monthly consumer affairs report from Tom Collier. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. It's very simple. The Buckmaster Show live line number is 790-2040. You can also email questions at our website, buckmastershow.com, or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. And we begin now with Supervisor Richard Elias. Supervisor Elias, always good to see you. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And it's always great to be here on the Buckmaster Show and come down here and see you and Rose. And it's always a pleasure to be here.
Rose does a fantastic job.
She gets
so little credit publicly, but she does just a fantastic job. Like I say, it's not easy making sure this show is posted to those three websites every afternoon so people can hear the program anytime, anywhere.
She's a real treasure that you have here, and keeping track of your guests is like herding cats sometimes, too, I get the feeling.
Oh, my goodness, I know. Double booking and confirming, it's a lot of work. News today, Richard, 11 people have applied for the job of representing the Southside District 29 at the Arizona Legislature. This now goes to what, a committee? These names?
Correct. On Monday at a special board meeting, we created a committee of 5 people to review those applications that we received until yesterday at 5 o'clock. There are 11 applications we received. The committee is comprised of 2 former legislators from District 29, 2 independents, and one of those independents is a former legislator as well, and then another person who also worked in the governor's office previously. So I think they are folks who know what's needed in the job, and I think they're prepared to do a good job for all the people in District 29.
Why don't I quickly go through this list?
Please.
Sergio Arellano.
There you go.
Okay, he is a community volunteer. Stephen Cody would like the job. He's a technical writer at IBM. Nicholas Fontana, an attorney. Albert Jordan is an aerospace engineer at Raytheon Missile Systems. As I turn the page here, James Kelly, a transportation specialist. Robin Larson, project manager, field supervisor at Advantage Air Mechanical. Michael Oatman would also like the job. He's the owner of Internet Convenience Store. Is it Stefiana O'Neill or Steviana?
Stephanie.
Stephanie, okay. CEO of Moving Ahead Organizations, John Orr, a program director at Open Inn. Joseph Scott is a professor and founder of Scott Supply Services. Leon Sierra, a business representative at International Union of Operating Engineers. I think it's wonderful that 11 people applied.
I think it's absolutely outstanding, and it shows how much interest there is in becoming a part of things and participating and ultimately changing the direction of some of those decisions made by the state legislature.
And these folks are all independent, so you have to go name an independent, because under that strange sequence of events that happens, Mr. Patterson was an independent at the time of the resignation.
Yeah, it's created a lot of confusion, and it's unfortunate, but I'm glad to see that we have some good applicants. And really, I think our main message ultimately to the committee is that we want a true independent. If the Secretary of State has mandated us to do that, then we want to have a true independent and not someone who's just changed their party label or to fit the needs of this particular appointment.
Richard Elias is with us, Pima County Supervisor. Another legislative season coming to a close. Many will be saying, great, that means they can't do any more damage up in Phoenix. Supervisor Elias, when state lawmakers get together lately, it's been about micromanaging affairs of Pima County. Let's face it. It really has.
It's very true, and it's unfortunate. The issue of local control is getting to be far out of control of all of us, and it's really, really a situation where we need to think carefully about what we're going to do into the future, so that maybe we have representation that's more balanced in its approach to that issue of local control, and ultimately the personal control that people have over their own lives and their own health. I think the attacks on women the last couple months and women's health issues are truly tragic as well.
We had, as you know, Supervisor Elias, we had the mayor of the town of Marana, Mayor Honey, was with us. And I asked him about this forensic audit of the Pima County bond program. And I said, Mayor, are there any sour grapes here? Isn't this personal? And he said, no, it's just we don't feel, the representatives of Marana do not feel they have been getting their fair share when it comes to bond issues.
Right. And I think that that's a bit of a misnomer, and I think that really we went through an incredible community conversation over the last 10, 12 years related to the conservation plan and other issues, and really the idea of regionalizing some of our decisions about planning and other things have been very helpful to us all. But in the nature of regionalism, you understand that you have to cede some of your power. Sit down with other folks, roll up your sleeves, put your differences aside, and get to business. And I really believe that that would be a much better pathway for Marana and the representatives to choose. But I can't control that entirely. I have complete confidence in our bond program that we've managed it correctly. And I expect the audit to be really a big waste of everyone's money.
So nothing fishy, in your opinion, has been going on with bonding as long as at least you've been involved with the county.
I think that we had a tougher time with the 97 bond money, but I think it taught us some good lessons, and we've been very careful, and we have about 58 different citizens on several committees that review every decision that's made about the bonds and how they're spent. I hate to see those folks and their reputation impugned by this kind of discussion at the state legislature. But I know they all stand firm in their belief that everything we've done has been above board and correct and really benefited many people in our community.
Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias is with us. If you would like to make a comment or ask Supervisor Elias about Pima County business, now is the time to do it, 790-2040. The board, of course, is on record against the Rosemont Mine, and the board has been unanimous in their stance against Rosemont. The state issued a permit to Rosemont concerning the aquifer pollution standards. How big a setback is this for the people who do not want to see the Rosemont Mine?
Well, it's one portion of the discussion that has not gone in a good direction in through my perspective. It's no surprise, though, I think, given the state's reputation for dealing with these kind of aquifer issues. What I would say is that all is not gone. all is not forgiven, and I think we need to continue to work to have the voices of Pima County heard so that we can really get the word out about what dangers there are to people in public health and their livability here in the valley. And really, it would be a tragedy of huge proportions to see this mining proposal go through to benefit a Canadian company that I really think is going to flip the ownership of this mine the minute they get approvals.
The company said this gives it 6 total permits, although one of those, conditionally approved by the Arizona Corporation Commission, isn't final. It still needs 4 more. As for the water, the aquifer permit, Chuck Huckleberry, the Pima County Administrator, accused the State Department that issued this permit of virtually ignoring his staff's 70 comments on health, safety, and mine closure costs.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate, but I'm glad we're on record because we're still in a phase where EPA, the Corps of Engineers, and ultimately the Forest Service is going to have to look at that kind of decision-making in taking a look at their final decision about approving this operation here in the beautiful Santa Rita Mountains.
We've talked about it before on the program with Supervisor Elias. You believe this is, you know, the economic issue keeps coming up, but you keep saying that as far as you're concerned, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you're saying this is a quality of life issue.
Absolutely. It's a quality of life issue. It's a health issue. This is something where we have to look at this thing as being like your bank account. There are debits, and then there are deposits. So, yeah, there is some economic benefit that we need to recognize, but it's offset by the economic costs created by this in terms of health care for all of us, in terms of economic development for our tourism industry, talking about water, talking about dust in the air, talking about cultural resources that should be protected by the Antiquities Act, which has been in place for more than 100 years here in the United States. This is something that's going to cost us a fortune into the future and really denigrate the lives of our residents.
Rose is telling us it's time for a break, but I'm telling you that Rosemont is shaping up to be kind of the key issue in some of these Pima County supervisor races, isn't it? Almost like a referendum on Rosemont.
I think that's clear in three of the districts that have races right now, and I'm fairly confident that we will sustain a majority of supervisors who remain in opposition to the Rosemont proposal.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show. If you would like to talk with Supervisor Elias, we'd like to hear from you. Perhaps you disagree with what he's saying about Rosemont. Let us know, 790-2040, 790-2040.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the Thursday edition coming up on 12/22. A little bit of a promo for tomorrow's Friday Focus. We'll hear from Carolyn Cox. She is the Pima County Republican Party chair. We had Jeff Rogers, the Democratic chair, on the show last Friday, and it's the Republicans' turn tomorrow on the show. So it'd be interesting to see how Ms. Cox feels about the upcoming election with Ron Barber and Jesse Kelly. What do you think about that upcoming election, Supervisor Elias?
Well, you know, I think people need to get out and make their voice heard because even though it's a six-month window that we're talking about here, it's very important to us. And I think it's going to speak volumes about the election in November as well for the two-year term. And we all just got to stay focused on what are the issues that are most important to all of us and not get caught up in
the personal stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Try to stick to the issues. Richard Elias is with us, Pima County Supervisor. And are we going to go? Yes, we're going to go to Doug Martin, who is the owner-operator of this fine radio station, KVOI. Doug, go ahead. You were Supervisor Elias.
Supervisor, appreciate you coming on the air. I've got a couple of questions. You were talking about the Rosemont issue, and I know it's been beat around a lot, but the two things I really wonder about, one is the county had an opportunity to buy that property from Yoram Levy, and I've heard that the reason they didn't buy it was they didn't want Yoram to make that much of a profit, but he ended up selling it to Rosemont for more, so I wonder if there's an issue there. And then the second thing is, when Chuck Huckleberry was on our station, he kept talking about an extraction tax and that other countries charge an extraction tax and that type of thing. And he was hinting that, it could be a matter of just the county getting some kind of additional revenue. And that would be the reason that there's opposition. So I was wondering what your take was on that.
Okay, thanks, Doug. So two-part question there, Richard Elias.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate you calling, and it's always a pleasure to be here at your station, and especially on the Buckmaster Show. I would say this. A couple things at stake here. The county had a good opportunity to purchase Rosemont, and we failed in that regard, and that was a good lesson for all of us. Real estate is a finite resource, and we shouldn't be concerned about who is receiving those government dollars. If it's something that's going to protect our public's health and protect the quality of life that we have here, I think it's a real mistake to not make those purchases and just move forward with what is best for everybody.
So you're saying to the part one to Doug's question, failure not to buy the land. The county, in your opinion, Richard, should have bought the land.
I think it was a huge mistake.
Now, what about this extraction tax?
That's an interesting concept. I'm not that interested in that. I think this is about stewardship of Pima County, stewardship of the place where I was born and raised, and protecting people's health, protecting our quality of life, and protecting the way that our economy works. Tourism's incredibly important to all of us. But also, we understand that while mining has always been a part of our history, we have mines that operate today. I'm not in opposition to any of them, but Rosemont is the wrong mine at the wrong place. And extraction tax is interesting because you're talking about someone from outside the country taking advantage of our natural resources. I honestly believe, like I said a few minutes ago, that Rosemont and Augusta Resource will never want to operate this mine. As soon as it's approved, they will likely sell it to another company, and then we'll have a whole new discussion, and all the promises that have been made will go right out the window.
12:26 on the Buckmaster Show. You are listening to Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor. There was a decision this week at the board meeting. I don't think it's gotten much play about Major League Soccer spring training. This is a huge deal. You're talking about tourism.
Absolutely. People say that the Pima County Board of Supervisors are anti-business from time to time. I think the decision to convert some of the fields at Keno Sports Complex to soccer pitches so that FC Tucson is able to operate their soccer team as well as youth soccer organizations are able to take advantage of them is huge, because I'll tell you what, in doing that, we have just opened the door to bringing in 10 Major League Soccer teams for spring training and the Desert Diamond Cup next year. We're talking about millions of dollars of revenue coming in for all of us. This is good, clean money that's going to be spent in small businesses, in hotels and restaurants.
International visitors from Mexico will be coming up.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a decision of huge dimensions. FC Tucson's a great organization that provides a local link to professional sports. One of the big issues that we never had with baseball is that we didn't have local people involved in it.
So that will be next year. So we had four teams this year, right?
Actually, we had six teams come.
All right.
We had four teams in the Desert Diamond Cup, but we had six teams train here.
Okay.
Next year, we're looking at expanding the Desert Diamond Cup and 10 total teams coming in for spring training.
All right, that is good news. Not much time to devote to potholes. It's been talked about a lot. $10 million has already been designated by the board for urgent road repairs. I guess crews are out as we speak. Is that correct, Richard?
Absolutely. They're doing that work already. We're looking at putting together some more money out of next year's budget as well that we've committed to. And I think we're listening to folks and doing the right thing. Probably something we should have done a long time ago.
But it is a drop in the bucket, isn't it?
It is, because we have now a problem of huge dimensions, and really we need to think seriously about how we can help the city of Tucson with its revenue issue so that we can get our roads back into decent condition.
1,800 miles of roads in unincorporated Pima County, 1,200 are in poor or failed condition, the cost to bring all of them up to speed would be $240 million. So a lot of work still to do. Richard Leas, thank you for coming in and sharing your opinions. We appreciate the visit.
Thank you. And like I said, it's always a pleasure to be here. And I hope all your listeners have a great day and a great weekend. And looking forward to spending those spring weekends here in Arizona.
If someone wants to call you, you are available at the Pima County Board of Supervisors?
I'm always available at 740-8126.
Okay. Richard Leas, our guest on the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. We have Earth Day coming up this weekend, a very well-known church, almost, you could say, iconic Southern Arizona Church is going green and solar. We'll find out about that next.
SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's calling for a new UN resolution authorizing an arms embargo and other stronger measures on Syria if it fails to abide by UN-backed ceasefire measures. The Coast Guard says a small plane has sunk in the Gulf of Mexico and the crews flying over the site saw no signs its pilot survived the crash. The pilot was the only person on board the Cessna. It went down today about 3 hours after the pilots of two F-15 fighter jets tried to make contact with the unresponsive pilot. Questioning of potential jurors in the Roger Clemens perjury case has finally ended after 4 days, an opening argument set for Monday afternoon. Clemens is accused of lying to Congress in 2008 when he said he never used performance-enhancing drugs. On Wall Street, the Dow was down 97. More details at srnnews.com.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Thursday afternoon on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our simulcast partner, KAPR Douglas, broadcasting to all of Southern Arizona. Well, Tucson and Southern Arizona residents will mark Earth Day this weekend with a wide variety of events, including the 18th annual Earth Day Parade and Festival on Saturday. That's at Reed Park from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Then on Sunday, a well-known church, St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church at River and Campbell, will be celebrating going green with the dedication ceremony of the church's new solar commitment. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Reverend Dr. Tom Lindell, a member of the Green Team at St. Philip's in the Hills, where he is an affiliated clergy. Dr. Lindell is an emeritus professor of molecular and cellular biology at the University of Arizona. Tom, thanks for checking in with us. I understand you're up in San Francisco on some business.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, greetings from San Francisco.
You will be probably back in town, I hope, for this big weekend.
We're getting up very early Sunday morning to try to fly back and make it for the dedication, yes.
Tell me a little bit about why St. Philip's decided to go green.
Oh, my goodness. It's a wonderful backstory here. I can start with late last summer. I had a singular meeting with a parishioner by the name of Donna Kosolich, who had actually started what we call the Green Team at St. Philip's. And she had been talking for quite some time about wanting to do a solar project at St. Philip's, but we always had this question in the background, who was going to pay for it? But as we were talking, she was kind of coy, and I kind of preempted the conversation by saying, Donna, are you going to pay for this project? And she said, yes, I am. And so it was amazing. And I asked her if she was willing to go see the parish administrator, Steve Brong, and the rector, to tell them about this anonymous gift that she had agreed to provide. And fortunately, both of them were available, and both of them were very, very pleasantly shocked and pleased. And you know, from that point on, Donna, as head of the Green Team, had a very unusual urgency about her about this particular project. we very quickly interviewed 3 different solar installers and finally decided on a local Tucson installer that had an excellent reputation. It was called Technicians for Sustainability. And there was a remarkable conjunction of sorts because we were able to get in under the wire with Tucson Electric Power for the appropriate rebates, and construction amazingly began in late November, and it was actually completed in late March ahead of schedule, and it was an amazing thing. There's a little bit of. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Tom, what kind of costs are you looking at in return here? What kind of savings do you think you'll be able to reduce for St. Philip's?
Well, the array itself consists of about 522 solar panels on 3 cantilevered shaded areas in the parking lot. It's going to generate up to 160 kilowatt hours and as much as 800 kilowatt hours per day. But we anticipate that this is going to save St. Philip's up to 70% in terms of its electrical cost over the year. But even as importantly, It's going to reduce our footprint by 615,000 pounds of carbon dioxide putting into the atmosphere. So we're quite delighted with the whole project.
And it's interesting, St. Philip's is really just the latest of a number of faith communities that have gone solar or in the process of doing so. It's kind of an interesting thing that's happening in the faith-based community, isn't it?
Well, not only there, but in the food bank at Tucson, but St. Francis in the foothills, and I believe Mother of Sorrows has also done something, and yes, so...
Temple Emmanuel, Pantano Christian Church, the Benedictine Sisters, also joining in this solar movement. So you're going to have a big day on Sunday. There will be actually kind of a solar education kind of event going on. I think it's at 10:15 in the Children's Center courtyard. Everyone is invited to come out there. Then there'll be the official dedication during the 11:15 service. Is that correct?
It'll be immediately following the 11:15 service. It should be about 12:15. There's also a simultaneous with the children's presentation. There is a presentation by a Dr. Elna Otter, who's affiliated with Al Gore's Climate Reality Project, After an Inconvenient Truth. So she's going to be presenting a talk as well at the 10:15 hour at a forum.
St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, of course, an iconic structure here in the Tucson area, designed by the famous Josias Jostler. It's a lovely building, and I wonder, Tom Lindell, was there a problem because the church is so old, just celebrating its had a big anniversary? Was there a problem going solar with the current electrical system, the conversion?
Not really. It dovetailed in very, very nicely. It's a DC generating electricity that needs to be converted to AC, but we're totally integrated into the grid, and what we're not using immediately ourselves, of course, is being shared with the Tucson community.
Tom Lindell, thank you very much for being with us. We'll look forward to Sunday. It's going to be a big day at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church at River and Campbell. Thank you, Tom.
You're very welcome, Bill.
Tom Lindell being with us on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up next, Tom Collier, our consumer affairs contributor. Lots to talk about with Mr. Collier, as always, as we continue with the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:46 on this Thursday afternoon. Tom Collier, our contributor on consumer affairs, joins us. Tom, how are you?
Happy birthday, Mother Earth.
Mother Earth, coming up April the 22nd
exactly.
On Sunday. It's Earth Day, and in conjunction with Earth Day, the wild bees must know.
Oh, they do.
They know. Earth Day is coming because, boy, there are lots of swarms of bees.
This is bee swarming season, and what is happening is that hives are splitting up after wintering over, and they're setting up new bee colonies. You'll find that if you can drive around, if you're lucky enough, I guess you can actually see the hives, the swarms as they're called, resting on the trees. What they're doing is they're looking for a home. They're looking to set up a new hive. The queen is usually at the center of that big cluster of surrounding her protective worker bees. And what they're doing is looking for a home. If they decide they want to set up home in your house or on your lot or on your territory, it could become very expensive. And that's when the bees become dangerous. Once they've decided that they've found a home and they establish a hive, the problem that we have in Arizona is that we have to assume that all of the bees in our territory have become Africanized. Mm-hmm. Most people know the story. There was a colony bee experimentation
in Brazil,
yeah, back in the 70s, and the Africanized, hybridized bees who were much more aggressive than local honeybees escaped, and they worked their way up. So finally, in Arizona now, we have to consider any bee colony to be potentially Africanized and therefore much more aggressive.
Let me ask you, if you notice this on your property, should you just let it go and hope the bees move on, or should you contact a professional?
You should contact a professional. I would suggest that you don't let it go, because once the hive is established, they will become very protective. And you need to establish a pattern of a weekly walk around at your house and look for little holes, and a hole the size of a dime is sufficiently enough small enough or big enough from a bee's perspective, I guess, to be an entrance and an exit to a hive. Look for places where they might be going and coming, and watch for insects, the bees going and coming out of a specific hole. Even things like irrigation, drip irrigation covers, those types of things. You need to watch pool equipment if it's detached from the house. Piles of old lumber, outbuildings, sheds, any place where you can observe bees going and coming. Once again, if they're in a swarm or if they're just foraging, they're not going to be a danger. But once they've established that hive, everybody's read the stories or heard the stories about somebody out taking a walk and all of a sudden they're attacked and covered by bees that are essentially defending what they perceive as a threat to the home. So what you need to do is call a professional. Do not take the can of Raid out there and try to get rid of them yourself, because you're going to regret it. If you're attacked, get inside. Do not try to jump in the pool.
Right,
the
bees I was going to say, don't wait. Jump in the pool.
Don't do that. Get inside. Get inside a car. Get inside a door. Get away. And call a professional. Now, this is where my consumer hackles raise.
Okay.
Because my consumer reporter hackles rise because there are companies in Southern Arizona that advertise themselves as specialists in bee protection, in only bee removal, and they only concentrate on getting bees away and out of a hive if they've established themselves where they're not wanted or not welcome. Okay, you can use those, but any reputable licensed pest control company should have someone on staff who is capable of handling a bee removal. The problem that we have with some of these specialty bee-only companies is that they will lowball the estimate. They know they have you because you've got an established bee colony, an established hive on your property. They will lowball the estimate that they give you over the phone once they come out and perform the removal of the hive. Then you're hit with a bill that's been padded by sometimes as much as $1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
There's really no protection for you as a consumer. Although these organizations, if they use specific chemicals, are licensed by the Arizona Pest Control Board, the Pest Control Board isn't concerned with pricing. So you can file a consumer complaint with them. They are not equipped to handle that. I won't say they don't care. I just simply say that they are not empowered to handle those types of complaints when they come from consumers to the Pest Control Board. I might also add that the Pest Control Board is not concerned with effectiveness of a specific type of remedy. If you want to stand at the corner of the building and shout voodoo curses at the insects, if you're calling that a pest control process, then you need to be licensed by them. It doesn't matter whether it works or not, and that's not a primary concern. Efficacy of the treatment mechanism is not a concern of our Arizona Pest Control Board. So the point I want to make is that you need to investigate very, very carefully before you call one of these companies. Make sure that you can get an estimate in writing, if that's doable. Although most people feel pressured because they have this established hive.
And they want it removed now.
They hear the horrible stories about the bee attacks and they want something done. So that is a pressure situation that some unscrupulous companies use to get more money out of the consumer than is really necessary.
And if you get something in the mail that looks very – well, it looks very
much – as long
as
we're talking unscrupulous. Yes.
You're getting something in the mail that looks very much like an invoice, it may not be.
Yes. There have been a series of mailings. I think a lot of people in Pima County and perhaps throughout the state have received a couple of mailings over the past week and a half from companies that are saying your water line is unprotected. My gosh, if you have a leak, our records show, here it is. I've got a copy of it right here. Our records indicate that the address below is not protected by water line service coverage. Oh, and it looks very official.
It
looks
it
like
does.
It's got something.
Looks like it could be a bill
looks
from
like
the
it could be
water
a bill.
Company, perhaps. Or
and this is
company.
What is known. This is what is known as a solicitation in the guise of invoice. Now, I have one for water line coverage here. I have one for electrical line coverage, from the meter. The electrical company is responsible for providing electricity and maintaining the lines up to your meter. From the meter on into the house, it is your responsibility, and that applies to electric and water both. But these things are scary, and they look like invoices. They look like something you might have overlooked and forgotten to pay, and that's the sleazy part
of
this type of marketing. It is the hook. And it dates back to it has a close relative in the business community that dates back years and years and years. A lot of people who've ever run a small business or even a big business will remember these solicitations in the guise of invoice for Yellow Pages advertising. It got so bad that the Federal Trade Commission required these companies to print a line on the bill, on the solicitation, that said, "This is not a bill." What they were hoping was with the solicitation, and I suspect that that's what they're hoping with these solicitations, is that that it would just get coded for payment, go back to accounts payable. Everybody would glance at it and think, oh, my gosh, we need to pay this $149, $159. And that's what it was, you know, and they'd pay it. And companies would make a lot of money that way by people assuming that this is a bill that they need to pay. That is not posted on these two examples that I have here for your electric line and for your water line from the meter to the house and on. And it's kind of deceptive because you might glance at it and assume that it's a bill. I also noticed that there's very, very tiny small print on one of these where it says the name of the company is an independent company separate and apart from your local utility. And we're offering this as an optional service as an authorized representative of warranty company, the contract issuer. This is a pitch for a service contract. And you don't need it.
Tom Collier is with us, 12:55 on the Buckmaster Show. Tom is talking about consumer affairs, as he does once a month here on the Buckmaster Show. No more paper checks, I guess, from the federal government for our Social Security recipients.
Well, next year, the federal government has decided, at least in Social Security, Social Security benefits, SSI, disability, those payments, that they will go paperless completely. And this gives rise to an opportunity for scam. Got an email a couple of days ago on my own personal email account that said, your direct deposit did not go through. You must contact us and give us the information. I can't tell you how long it's been since I've actually deposited a paper check. So I do a lot of direct deposit and I do a lot of electronic bill paying. But it was from a bank that I haven't banked with ever. I immediately, you know, it's a scam. But a lot of people who are expecting a paper check and who use a paper check now, particularly elderly Social Security recipients, or you don't have to be elderly if you're on SSI disability. Sometimes you may get a paper check. But the federal government has said, no, it's going to be paperless. So there's an opportunity for people to be scammed when they get a call that says, oh, my goodness, your paycheck deposit didn't go through. And people who have been used to getting a check and for Social Security and going down to the bank. And for some people, a dear friend of ours who's in her 90s, it's the major event of her life, you know, to go ahead and go down to the bank and endorse the check and say hello to people. And she gets dressed up and puts on her makeup and, you know, just to deposit a check. It's a big social event. And since it's going to be electronic now, there's an opportunity for scam there. So we think people should be aware of that. And if you have an elderly relative who has been getting a paper check from the government, then you need to make sure that they understand that that's going away and be very, very wary of potentials to scam.
Do we have time? I think we do. For one more, what about high school proms?
Ah, yes,
yeah,
prom season.
Prom time.
Prom season. Rent the limo, you know, rent the tuxedo, rent the prom. Do you rent the prom dress?
I don't know.
I'm not qualified to say whether they rent the prom dress or buy it.
No, buy it.
And it's been so long ago. But one of the things that is a part of the senior year is also the senior trip, where they have the group senior trip, and that's usually planned by the students themselves with minimal adult supervision, which is great, except when you plan for and solicit and get tickets from and buy a trip or plan a trip with a company that doesn't exist. That has actually happened to senior trip groups in Mississippi, and a couple of years ago it happened here in Arizona. They thought they chartered a plane to take them to Cozumel. They chartered a plane, and it took them to Cozumel, but it didn't get them back.
It didn't fly down to Cozumel. One-way trip.
Yes. So we had a whole bunch of high school students from – it was a high school up in the Phoenix area, as I recall, who got to Cozumel and had their senior trip. The problem was getting back. Make sure that – unfortunately, in Arizona, we don't have a sellers of travel regulation or a sellers of travel law where they have to be registered. But make sure that you know who you're dealing with in that particular instance. And this is an area where, it's nice for the students to do it themselves, but I sure would suggest some adult supervision supervision, some experienced adult supervision in putting together a senior class trip.
These senior class trips, they did not have them when I was back in the dark ages.
Careful, Bill, you're dating us here.
Yeah, I guess that's the big deal now, though, the senior class trip. Tom Collier, thank you very much. Good advice on a number of fronts, and hopefully our listeners will not have a wild bee, Africanized bee problem, because that could certainly ruin your day, couldn't it, Tom?
It sure could.
And hit you big time in the pocketbook. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. They're having a big Cinco de Mayo activity at Splendido. That is coming up on Thursday, May the 3rd, and the reservation should be made by Monday, April the 30th. Check it out on their website. Buckmaster Show also is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Thursday edition. We will be back Friday. Tomorrow, we'll be talking with Carolyn Cox, the Pima County local GOP chair. Lots to talk about with that special CD8 election. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.